They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining us today we have someone who's in Florida, a veteran who has served his country for years, and who has the distinct honor and pleasure of living in an association, in a condominium association, where board members, managers, and all the other people have nothing better to do than to sit around and come up with... Are you ready? Wait for it. Larry, what is it?
Hey, flower pot law.
Flower pot laws. We're talking to Larry Murphy. Larry, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
You've been on before, and you're back to tell us what's happened since then.
Well, to give you a quick history, this started about 4 years ago. I put a little American flag in my flower pot on the front porch, and they came by and they said, that is an unauthorized object. And, you know, it just hit me wrong calling the American flag an unauthorized object. This is like 11-inch by 17-inch flag. And so we had to file a lawsuit back then, and then they settled. They paid my fees, and, you know, you figure, okay, that's the end of it. But a new board got in, and they came up with this flower pot law. A lot of people out here call it the Larry Law because they know what it was aimed at. And they listed things could go in a flower pot, and again, the flag didn't make the cut. So they started fining me $100 a day. So where it really got ugly, so when I went into the hospital for some serious neck surgery, they started, my funds were taken out automatically, and they diverted my funds for the dues towards the $1,000 fine. And then when I get out of the hospital is when I find out about this, because they put a lien on my house for not paying the dues. And then I call this First Service Residential, the one that manages out here. They said they were told to divert the funds without telling me. And that's when it got ugly. You know, wham, I'm behind and didn't even know it, because for 8 years they were taking it out automatic.
So that was the priority.
We've gone back and forth. And they came up with an offer that for me to pay all the back dues, which all of this, the dues have been going into an escrow account, so we could pay it this afternoon. But to this day, they have never told me where to send the dues to. And they made me an offer. My attorney and I, that for me to pay all the back dues, pay the late fees, pay some attorney fees, and take the flag out of the pot, which is a non-starter. So we wrote them back and say, look, we will pay all the dues, all the late fees, some dollars towards your attorney fees, and our main stipulation was no foreclosure action will be instituted to me. So their attorney wrote back and said a couple of things, and the bottom line was, he said, I quote, again, the association board of directors has instructed me to proceed with foreclosure on the property. And last night, you're the first to hear this, last night I was served with a 125-page foreclosure.
125 pages?
I can't hear you now.
I said 125 pages?
Yes. Yeah, I can barely hear you.
Okay, how's this?
A little better.
Okay.
Now that's better. Perfect.
Okay. Wow, 125 pages. Who is the association attorney? Who signed that letter?
Mr. McCabe.
Okay.
Well, this is the way I look at it. If they win, I'll go to the homeless shelter. I'll take that flower pot. The flag will stay in it because the flag never loses.
You know, too many people, and you're a vet, but you shouldn't have to be a vet to be able to fly your flag if that's what you want to do.
Yep.
It is your First Amendment right. It is a free speech right. And anybody that is dumb enough to waste time coming up with flower pot rules deserves to be made fun of.
Yeah.
You know, that is the sign of that's a sign of something that's really, really wrong with this country.
Mm-hmm.
When you have people who sit around making flower pot rules. So, all right, so you're, okay. Larry, you said it was a non-starter. You're not taking that flag out. You're going to leave it in there.
Absolutely.
Now, I've talked to other vets who've also had battles with the ninnies in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they have always said they are not taking their flag down. And my question has been, and I know the answer to this, so, but I want my listeners to hear this. And if Mr. McCabe ever listens to the show, then I want him to hear it as well. And maybe even some of the ninnies in the hood. Is the flag worth it? You're losing your house. You're losing everything. Is that little flag worth it?
Well, as I said before in one of the interviews, I said it's a small flag, but it stands for a big thank you. And that's the way I feel about it. I love my country. I appreciate the military. And that's just one small little way. Like I say, it's 11 by 17. And from the street, you can barely see it. You have to stop and look. And they've just, pardon the pun, made a federal case out of it. They have filed a lawsuit against me in federal court, state court. Last night, this thing came from a county court. I guess they'll have to go to Supreme Court next. They're running out of courts to sue me.
It would seem to me that it would have to stop at some point because this is insane. It absolutely and positively is insane.
Yeah, I was hoping we sent out notices to every politician in our state capitol here and in Washington, and we got two responses. I mean, we must have sent out 200 of them, and one of them said that, you know, gave me some other channels to go through, and the second one said, due to redistricting, you're not in my area anymore. So I guess he loves the flags, but they have to be in his area, so I disregarded that one too.
You know, and thank you for bringing that up, because we've got elections coming up. Guys, be very careful who you vote for.
Mm-hmm.
Because these people are supposed to be representing all of us, every one of us, even me up here in Virginia. And if their response is, you're not in my district,
right,
you have a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they going to do when they get in and they have to vote? Are they going to vote only on what they think is good for their district? Or maybe one of the people who was a large contributor. If that's what that contributor wants, then that's what they'll vote for.
Mm-hmm.
So be very careful. Go to these rallies. Go and ask them in public.
Mm-hmm.
Record it. Play it back. And have them tell you that they're not going to take care of you. Have them tell you in public before Election Day.
Uh-huh.
That, you know what, we're sorry. I can't be bothered because you're not in my district. And
mm-hmm.
you can't vote for me, so I'm not going to do a damn thing for you.
Yep.
And we're,
talking to Larry Murphy, who is being threatened with foreclosure, being threatened with becoming homeless because he has an 11 by 17 flag. Now listen, guys, that's not very big. It's a small flag in a flower pot, in violation. It's an unauthorized object in a flower pot. Come on, guys.
It just doesn't make sense. Like in the condos we own from the walls in, and everything outside is a common area, except there's limited common area. Like my driveway is limited common area because I can park my car there and nobody else can. My front porch is the same way. So I try to explain to people. I said, look, I've got my car, my property on the limited common area. I've got my flower pot on my porch, limited common area. On my car, I have two American flags. On my car, my property. I've got one American flag in my flower pot, my property, on the limited common area. And I give them copies of state and federal law in spades, and they think. Then I said, okay, I'll take the flag out of the flower pot if you prove to me that what this little group of people votes on supersedes state and federal law. And, of course, they can't do it. But they're just dug in their heels. They said, no, that flag's going, or you're going with the flag. I said, okay. But then,
what about your neighbors? How do they feel about it? Have they said anything?
Some have. One said, you know, two of them said, you know, just take the flag and it'll go away. And I said, okay, when they come after you, what are you going to do? Are you going to bow to every little thing that they say, reasonable or unreasonable? I said, you know, I've got state and federal law on my side. What have they got? And other people's, you know, well, you know, you didn't let go of this. If I'd have been doing it, I'd have given up a long time ago. And I said, that's just something I feel very personal about. And if they take my flag, you know, why are we fighting for it?
It's your home, and you should be allowed to live in your home the way you feel is right. It's not like the flag is really doing any harm to anybody.
Right.
It's just the only thing it's doing is rubbing the egos of petty-minded people the wrong way.
Right.
And how idiotic. I mean, I don't understand people like that, Larry. I really and truly don't understand people who would get on the bandwagon and not have the shame or the dignity to get beyond something like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You would think, you know, especially after 4 years, and they've got a lot of bad press. I've gotten calls from probably 18 different states. People just call and say, you know, thank you and don't give up. One guy's retired, and he said, I have a very, very limited income, but he sent me $5 for my legal fee. You know, that means just as much as that Lair Capital that sent me, you know, $10,000 to support my efforts. So it's kind of rejuvenated me. You know, sometimes you get kind of beat up with this thing, and then you get a call from somebody encouraging, and it works pretty good. I mean, they even got that website set up, that letmeflytheflag.com, that people can write in and express their things, and it's kind of encouraging just to sit and read those things too.
Let me fly the flag.
Yeah, letmeflytheflag.com.
Letmeflytheflag.com. Okay, right. Folks, go on there and post your comments. And that's what you can do, right, is post comments
there? You know, they want to, you know, like say some people will go in there and they get $5 or $2, you know, anything, you know, which I appreciate. Every little bit helps. I'm probably up to about $25,000 in my debt to the attorney, and the association's got the same amount of debt. And this is for like $2,000 worth of dues. Something's wrong with that picture.
Oh, yeah. There's something very wrong with that picture. But that's what this whole thing is about. They'll tell you it's to protect your property values. They'll tell you it's to prevent your neighbor from painting his front door pink or red. And, you know, so what if they do? But the truth is that this is nothing more than a way of just separating you from your money. Larry, this is a $65 billion, with a B, dollar annual industry.
Wow.
$65
billion. Oh.
You pay your taxes. Now, you pay these slimewads a lot of money, $65 billion, and all they can do is come up with flower pot rules?
Well, you just mentioned something about they're supposed to keep the property values up. With the amount of bad press they have gotten from this all over here in the city of Jacksonville, and you know, I was on the Fox and Friends one day, and I talked to some people last week. They said they've thought about moving out here, but when they heard that these people, their attitude towards the American flag, the guy said his wife told him, we're not moving there. So they're hurting the property values, which is what they're supposed to be protecting.
Well, what exactly is your property worth? I mean, what do you buy property for?
Well, my unit here will probably.
No, I don't mean the dollars. I don't mean dollar cents. I mean, the property is the value of the property is that it's your home. It's that you can do in it whatever you want, as long as you don't harm somebody.
Sure, absolutely. Well, that's the other thing. The neighborhood I'm in, it's 55 and older. It's not like we've got people that, you know, got junk cars hanging around and all of that. I mean, we're retired. We served our time, and we just want to enjoy life and play tennis or swim or, you know, whatever. And then they've turned. When I first moved here 8 years ago, this place was heaven. And then after a couple of years, it just, when a couple of people got on the boards and we got this new management company in here that tries to micromanage our lives, it's gone down tremendously.
So how long has the flag been in the flower pot?
4 years.
4 years?
Mm-hmm.
And when did this management company come in?
Oh, a couple of years ago.
Okay, so the flag was there before they came on.
Sure.
And when did you start having problems?
Well, for 4 years.
So you've always had problems.
I'm trying to think. I've been here 8 years, and this first 8 years were wonderful. This place was heaven. And then about 4 years ago is when they started tightening down on me when they called me on the flag.
So the flag was there. Did they start calling you on the flag almost immediately, or was the flag there for a long time?
The flag wasn't there too long, probably a few weeks, and then somebody rode by down the sidewalk and then walked up to the door and saw it, and then the games began.
Oh, so it's been ongoing. It's not.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's doing a number on my health and finances, and some of these people out here are pretty mad at me that, you know, I won't just take the flag down, and so the place won't get any more bad press, but it's,
It's not you that's doing it. I mean, the value of your property is what you do with your property. It's not what it sells for. I mean, and that's not the value of your property.
Yeah. But yeah, I've lost some friends out here that think it's ridiculous and kind of shunned me. But
Larry, they weren't friends. You didn't lose friends.
Yeah, that's
your friends. Yeah. Your friends are still there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Your friends still support you. Those were not friends.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
Those were cowards.
Mm-hmm.
Those were good time Charlies.
Mm-hmm.
Those were people who were not there for you.
Yeah, they were good time friends.
The good time Charlies. It's like, there's no problems. We'll hang around with you. But gee whiz, the minute you do anything, then, hey, we're gone.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I've still got a bunch of friends out here that support me 110%. So
they're your friends.
All good.
They're your friends. These guys that ran out on you, though, those are not your friends.
Yeah.
Board meetings.
We used to
call them homeowner meetings when I was on the board, because the meeting really was for the homeowners, always, not just once a year. But homeowners were always, always welcome to come in and always welcome to give us their opinion, and we needed that. But somehow things turned around, and they're now board meetings. But do your neighbors come to those meetings?
Yes, yeah.
And do they support you? Do they say, hey, back off, dudes?
I hadn't been to any of the meetings. I don't even go down to the clubhouse anymore. It's just not worth it for that 1% that's going to give me a hard time. So I kind of stay indoors now till this thing blows over.
So not only are they hounding you, they're harassing you, they're nibbling you to death like a duck.
Pretty much.
But you're paying for amenities that you're not using because you just don't feel welcome there.
Pretty much, yeah.
Did I get it right?
Right on the dot.
Right on the dot. So what's the value of your property now?
If I sold mine today?
No. What's the value? What's the emotional value? I mean, I don't care about the dollar amount.
Yeah,
I mean, to me, that's not the real value of your house.
Well, it's a place to be where if I stay inside, nobody bothers me. I had a checkup a few weeks ago, and I've always enjoyed perfect health, and I went in, and the doctor came back with a test, and he said, what is going on in your life? And I told him, and he said,
oh my gosh.
He prescribed an antidepressant, and he wrote on my chart, anxiety caused by HOA harassment. And then he said, I want to testify to that if you like. Okay.
Oh, Larry, that is worth its weight in gold.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you why. There's a Dr. Gary Solomon in Nevada. He's a psychologist. And he's written a paper that's available on my website, by the way, called the HOA Syndrome. And what he's trying to do, and I'm going to put you in touch with Gary.
Okay.
What he's trying to do is he would like the medical profession to acknowledge that the harassment that you get in an HOA does damage your health.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's no question about it, but the medical profession needs to recognize that. And if your doctor is willing to testify,
I think
that's going to take us a whole big step forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be absolutely really wonderful because, look, imagine if you went back and sued your HOA because they damaged your health and you now were able to get a lot of money in damages.
Mm-hmm.
And you were able to sue the management company and the HOA attorney.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we've kicked that one around, and I think that's probably going to be our response, hopefully. I just want it over.
I can understand that. I'm going to put you in touch with Gary Solomon later on. And, maybe he can talk to your doctor.
Okay. Shoot, that'd be fine. He'd be more than happy to talk to anybody.
Would he be happy to come on the show?
I would assume so.
Well, if you'd ask him for me, I'll be in touch with you.
Okay.
Maybe we'll find out what he saw. Somebody who's in perfect health, and obviously he saw something was wrong, so that he noticed it and said, "What is going on in your life?"
Mm-hmm.
Is that
right?
Oh
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I love my country. I love the flag and the military and all of that, but it's kind of doing a number on the old pocketbook and health, so I definitely want it open over sometime so I can start enjoying my retirement again. I've had a four-year break,
Well, you've worked hard all your life. You deserve to relax and enjoy your life.
I hope so. That was the plan.
And as soon as you get done with this and get this settled, are you going to move out?
Probably. I won't have any choice. Because the damage is done. Because they keep sending out blasts to the neighborhood saying that it's not about the flag. It's because he's not paying his dues. Well, why am I not paying my dues? Because they diverted my funds.
That's something when you talk to your legislators. CAI's gone in and they've done this across the country where they'll come in. It's called there's a priority of payment scam that we call
right.
it. So they'll take anything, all your dues, they'll throw it into whatever ridiculous stuff they have, and then they'll turn around and they'll say, okay, you're a deadbeat because you owe
right.
us the money and we're going to take your money away, your house away from you.
Are they supposed to notify when they, they never did notify me. They were diverting the funds.
I don't know what the law is in Florida, but check it out.
Okay.
Check it out and find out. But, Larry, good luck to you.
Well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate your time, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
And hang in there.
You got that right.
You said it earlier, the flag always wins, right?
That's right. That's right.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Please stay tuned, because coming up, we're going to be talking to another Floridian, Stephanie Krasowski, and we're going to find out what's going on in her part of the country, of the state. And it's not pretty. You're on the Commons. I'm Shu Bartholomew. And as I promised you just a minute ago, we have another Floridian with us. We are now joined by Stephanie Krasowski. Stephanie started an organization in Florida called Floridians Against Condo Takeovers, and she's got one hell of a story. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for coming on and telling us what's going on in Florida.
No, Sue, thank you so much for taking an interest in our story. I appreciate it.
So tell us, why did you start an organization, Floridians Act?
Floridians Act came about at the beginning of this year in response to a terrible situation that's going on here in Florida with the loophole that formed from a Florida statute back in 2007. What we're experiencing here is condo owners across the entire state are being affected by this statute that was amended by Charlie Crist back in 2007, where a loophole was allowed to be formed that allows for bulk buyers, investors, and developers to come into our properties, enforce a termination by collecting the majority of ownership, by buying up, in this case, it's 80% or more of the properties. They get control of the board. They take every opportunity they can to manipulate the system to force a termination. And so far in Florida, there's been 235 terminations. That's 235 complexes.
Oh, wow. How many homes? I mean, 235?
17,010 families have already lost their homes and fallen victim to this loophole since 2007.
So explain to us what happens. How does it work?
So what happens is, in my particular situation, I bought in a condo conversion. So I was within the first 20% of units purchased when they decided to convert in 2007. So what ended up happening was that the sales stopped suspiciously at 20%, which is a commonality amongst a lot of the condo conversions that have happened since 2005. And the 80% was allowed to maintain open for an investor, a bulk buyer, a developer, an entity to come in. So what happened was a developer came in, purchased up 80% of the units, decided to take ownership of the board, does not allow for any of the individual owners to have a seat, and casted a vote for termination. In our particular case, which is what I understand is going on across the country, our developer decided that he wasn't going to use the statute that was available to him that many of the terminating groups are using, 718117. What our developer decided to do was that he was going to go in and amend our condo declaration to lower the amount and make it obtainable for 80% to cast a vote to terminate against the will of the homeowners and against the will of the mortgagees. So the banks are having no say in Florida right now. Homeowners are having no say, and there's absolutely no agencies, divisions, anybody standing up with us on our side, and that's where Floridians Act came about, being in contact with multiple dozens of complexes across the state. I've realized that many of them have been reaching out the same as mine, looking for help and assistance, trying to bring awareness to this loophole, trying to bring awareness to the questionable practices of these developers and bulk buyers, and yet we have no help or response. And this has been ignored by Florida legislature for the last 7 years.
So you've been to the legislators?
Yes.
And they just basically, what, shrug their shoulders?
They keep referring us back to the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, which we call the DBPR. And the DBPR is the regulatory agency that's supposed to be overlooking all of the procedures involved when carrying through a termination. And they ultimately are the ones that approve or disprove a termination. They have never disproved one in the last 7 years. They are all filed on the books as terminated complexes, which allows for the bulk buyers to come in, take ownership of the property, and kick out the individual owners against their will. So just to let you understand, in my case personally, not only am I going to be forced to vacate my home, which is my homesteaded property, but I will be left with the debt of my mortgage because they are only trying to offer me half of what I owe. And that doesn't include any down payments, and I put 20% down on my condo back in 07. So I would lose that 20% down payment, and I'd be stuck either paying a mortgage on a house that I no longer have any rights to against my will, or I would have to be forced into taking a short sale, which would obviously go against my line of credit through no fault of my own. So we went to the legislators to explain the situation and show them how dire of a situation this is. You know, people are not only getting their private property rights violated in the state of Florida right now, but our constitutional rights are being violated right now. You know, our homesteaded property is being taken away against our will, and we're being left in debt. And there's no recourse. And from what I understand, when this happens in other states based off of amending the declaration, you know, these poor people they're in the same situation. In the state of Florida, this is an actual law that allows these people to come in and do this, and yet nobody in our government in this state is stepping up saying, we need to stop this. We need to stop this now. So when I started this group, Floridian back in January of this year, that's the commonality across the 15 complexes that have joined our group, is, and that's over 1,036 families that are about to lose their homes to a bulk buyer. And so we're all pushing forward, looking for action from our legislatures, reaching out. You know, we formed this group, we formed a petition, we formed a Facebook page, and we're calling out to anybody that can offer assistance, the national news media, the radio news media, anybody that can shine some light on this tragedy that's going on in the state, and still no response from our legislature.
There's no response?
None at all. Every time I reach out to the governor, Governor Rick Scott, I get referred back to the DBPR. Every time I reach out to the current Attorney General Pam Bondi, they refer me back to the DBPR, and the DBPR is a completely inactive agency who is not doing their righteousness when it comes to following through with Florida statutes. They say they have, if you look at the research over the last year that we've conducted, the DBPR is quoted on CNBC website, who did a national story on this in Florida, on Floridians Act, on Madison Oaks, my complex. And the DBPR is quoted as saying they have no jurisdiction over these forced condo terminations in the state of Florida. And I disagree. If you look at Florida Statute 718501, it gives them full jurisdiction over regulating, you know, making sure that these associations are following protocol, making sure that the no developers are violating our rights and or bulk buyers. It says it absolutely flat out in the statute, yet they claim that they have no jurisdiction. So when you go to the people that, you know, like Ms. Pam Bondi, our attorney general, who's supposed to be standing up for our constitutional rights, she refers us to a regulatory agency who is completely inactive and is completely unaware of their own responsibilities that are written in Florida statute.
It's funny, but a lot of people think that because you've got the DBPR, because you've got some alleged oversight, that these agencies, these government regulatory agencies, are going to protect you. And they're not. They're window dressing.
The Department,
yeah,
the Department of Business and Professional Regulation in the state of Florida is failing their citizens.
It's not just in Florida. It's everywhere. It's across the country where you have ombudsman, where you have, you know, all of these pseudo oversight committees, allegedly. They're not really there. They either refuse to use the power that they've been given, or they haven't been given sufficient power to do the job they're supposed to do. It's there for window dressing. It's there so that the legislators can say, hey, look, we've provided you with a means of protecting yourself. Go talk to the DBPR. Folks, don't fall for it. It is not there for you. It is not there to protect you. It's there to... it's just window dressing. What I would recommend that you do, Stephanie, is go to any session that any of the candidates are going to be trying to do some lobbying or campaigning, not lobbying, and ask them in a public forum, ask them the questions. And have that, record it, because I'm sure it's going to be a recording, but make sure you have your own recording as well. Put them on the spot, because enough is enough. I hear from people like you across the country every day. And our government is failing us. Put them on the spot, Stephanie.
Yes, I believe we need to. You know, there's so many people that are unaware of what's really going on, and I personally feel that, you know, condo sales need to be monitored in this state until we can figure out a solution so that people aren't making these investments thinking that this is their private property, which what this country is founded on, and then to find out at a later date that there's this loophole that's being ignored. I just feel that it's extremely unfair to anybody, especially, you know, people that look at Florida as the condo community to buy in. You know, people come to Florida to buy that extra house, that retirement, that, you know, vacation house. And in my experience in this last year fighting this and being the reach out to so many people from across the state, I mean, it's not just young people in their young 30s such as I who are being violated. I mean, there's people that are in their 90s that are being thrown out of their homes.
Yes.
And there's nobody helping them.
Yes.
And when you hear these horror stories about people's credit scores dropping so low because of a forced termination that they have to close up their businesses, when you hear about children coming home from school to find their houses have been locked against them, against their will, their parents unknown to it, because a bulk buyer decided to change the locks, they automatically vested title. I mean, to have these kind of situations overlooked and brushed aside by our government is just, it should be an outrage. You know, nobody should have a marshal coming to their house saying you have to leave to a 97-year-old woman who has her condo completely paid for. That's where she was planning on remaining for the rest of her life. I mean, it's just, the stories are so sad, and the more I hear, the harder we want to fight this.
So this is happening to in older communities as well, because we just talked to Larry Murphy in the first half of the show, and Larry has been told that they're going to foreclose on his property because he has a flag in his flower pot against the flower pot rules. And here's someone who's retired, he's a vet, he's going to lose his home, he's going to lose all his money, he's going to lose everything he owns, and he's going to be homeless. because some idiot decided to come up with flower pot rules. I mean, you know, go figure the brains behind that one.
Right.
And now you've got an even more horrendous story, because he can pull the flag out of the flower pot, and you know it won't all go away because he's already got it. He's in there for a ton of money, and his neighbors are telling him to do that. They're accusing him of giving the association a bad name. They're not looking at the idiots for coming up with flower pot rules.
Right.
So, but what you've got is unbelievable. And it's just 80%. You were telling me the other day that a former state senator or a former legislator is...
Yeah, a lot of these bulk buyers, you know, and this is what I think one of the reasons to why this has been overlooked, I think, for the last 7 years. Many of these bulk buyers have either held office, ran for office down here, or have something to do with, you know, contributing to the people in office. I mean, it's just amazing how connected. One of them that we've been researching, we're waiting for him to pull his first termination, was running for senator in Florida last year. And here he is 4 years ago, and here he is 4 years later about to pull a termination, you know, to people down south. And it's just, it's absolutely amazing when you think of how many people are working together in order to make sure that this industry, which is so sad to call this an industry, terminating Americans out of their homes against their will, leaving them in debt, and it's legal in the state. But this industry should not exist. This, in our opinion, and this is just my personal opinion, these are criminals hiding behind statutes. And this should not be allowed. This should never be an industry, much less when you look at the amount of money that these people are making, and it's all for their own profit. It's not that, you know, there's a school going up where my complex is. It's not that there's a hospital or a very needed highway running through Madison Oaks. People are losing their homes and are going to be thrown out of their houses against their will for the financial gain of a rich developer. And that's where our fight stands. That's where we are uniting across this state and standing up to these people and saying, this is not going to be allowed. I mean, to have a group of over 1,000 homeowners, and those are simply the ones that I know of, that's not even everybody who's currently affected. I could easily say quadruple that number, and that would be a very conservative estimate. I mean, we know of 15 complexes across the state that are currently going through, and that number is nowhere near as close to accurate. I mean, when you think 17,010 families have been forced out of their homes against their will, and many of them didn't go down without a fight, they just didn't have any assistance from anybody. And here, when we got involved last year, when this started happening to us and the Floridians Act came about, and we started to mail out letters across the state trying to connect with these people who are in the same situation as ours so that we could get a big voice, so that we could do meet news media outlets to try to shed light on this, that's simply when we realized how horrific this is. When you talk to the other complex heads and realize how many agencies they've written to, how many times they've reached out to the governor and been ignored, how many times they've reached out to Attorney General Pam Bondi and been flat out ignored. It's just, at this point, 7 years in, this is completely unacceptable. And we think that the lines are a little shaded down here, and people would rather not act than act on our behalf. And that's not what this country is built on. That's not what this is about.
Stephanie, let me make sure I fully understand. You said that your development was a condo conversion, which means it started out as apartments, and at some point people were looking for condominiums, so they decided to sell these units, these apartments, and sell them as condominiums. You also said that miraculously or inexplicably, once 20% of the apartments were sold, mm-hmm. the sales stalled. Was there a reason for that?
It's a very difficult situation at that point, because you go to the developer and say, why did sales stop? And they would turn around and try to blame it on, you know, the housing bust of 2007, 2008. But that could be argued. When you look at how many complexes across the state of Florida ironically stopped sales. I mean, just in our group alone, at 15 complexes, and not all of them are condo conversions. Some of them are fully occupied with 100% ownership.
Okay.
So we're all having a little bit different stories.
Okay.
But out of the 15, there's about 7 or 8 where the sales just ironically stopped at about 20%, and that's in 07. And our whole argument is this law didn't just come into effect out of nowhere. This law has been meticulously been worked on since 05. So in 05, 2005, condo conversions, that's when condo conversions started happening in Florida. So in 2005, this law started to be constructed, this amendment, and condo conversions began in 2005, where they took the apartments back to condominiums so that they could start sales. And, you know, back then the prices were pretty high. I bought in 07. So, you know, the market then, this obviously we stopped sales at 20%. The market did crash. And so they started renting them out as units. In that whole process, this law started to be constructed in 05. In 2006, this law was introduced to Florida legislature, and it was completely shut down and vetoed by Governor Jeb Bush, former Governor Jeb Bush, in 2006. And he wrote a letter absolutely predicting this exact circumstance, and he said why he vetoed this amendment. He said it was going to violate people's constitutional rights. He said it was going to violate public policy, or I'm sorry, it was against public policy. It was violating private property rights. He completely laid it out in his letter to why he was not allowing this to go through. And then when Charlie Crist took office, it went through in 07, and that's when the sale started at my complex, was in 07 when this law went through.
So some of the others, I think you said that not all of them were conversions, but Mr. Developer comes along and builds this massive development with all these condominiums and sells them and sells all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? How do you end up with 80% bulk buyers, 80% developers, 80% who want to terminate the condominium? How does it get to that point?
Well, for the complexes that are not condo conversions, so the ones that have been condominiums this whole time, what we're noticing is the ones that want, that are trying to terminate on ones that aren't conversions, that they're trying to use the, manipulate the individual ownerships through funds, through offering them exaggerated prices in order to get the individual owners to vote for the termination. So there's a complex down in Miami, for example, that I've been in touch with that the Four Seasons wants their property. So they're trying to offer handsome fees to these people. These people in particular are not going to be left in debt if they go through a termination. That's the one complex that I've heard of in the whole state that that's happening to. But what they're doing is they're manipulating through funds that they are trying to get the owners to work together to terminate. But in the same process, there's still those few homeowners that money's not an issue to them and they don't want to leave. And they're about to be terminated against their will because the manipulation of a bulk buyer, even though there's not a bulk buyer on premise there. So there's very different stories across the state of Florida. That's a rare one, to be honest with you. All 14 other complexes are being left in massive debt and are going to take some huge hits to their credit. And that's the how this is, trend has been happening since 07. If you look at the statistics on condos, forced condo terminations in the state of Florida since this amendment started, out of the 235 complexes, I mean, I can just, you can imagine how many people, 17,010, only 6 of those complexes were terminated for the original intent of the law, which was put into place, they say, for natural catastrophe or economic waste. So if a complex couldn't financially stay afloat for whatever reason, foreclosures, lack of association payments, then that's why they said they put this into effect. And then they said that they also put this statute into effect to correct for a situation like Hurricane Andrew or when Punta Gorda got wiped out about 7 years ago because of that terrible hurricane. So this was what, this was their solution, so they say, was to put this statute into effect to correct for situations such as that. That's what they say. But when you look at the statistics 7 years later, this loophole is technically a loophole, I guess you could call it, has been completely abused for the absolute opposite, which Governor Bush predicted. He said that this was not going to be used correctly, that investors were going to violate this law, and that a loophole would form. It's in writing prior to this going into effect. So to me, it just shows the negligence of our lawmakers down here that they could put something like this into effect, even though it was already written and documented by the former governor why it shouldn't go into effect, that it's going to harm tens of thousands of condo owners across the state and outside of Florida. If you think about how many people in other states across the country own property down here in Florida, like I was saying earlier, rentals, summer vacation, retirement condos, I mean, those people are losing their homes, they're being terminated, and they're not even aware. And the sad part is a lot of these complexes that are going under a termination are being so secretive about it that they're not informing the homeowners until, or the homeowners specifically from out of state, because they're mailing these letters to their rental properties here in Florida. So somebody who lives in Michigan or Canada or Italy, where I've sent letters to saying, hey, you guys are going through a termination just like I am, join Floridians Act, let's fight together. I get phone calls from these people from across the world that are like, how did you know this was happening to me? And it's just easy to find on the clerk of court's website. You just go in, do a little couple math problems, and you can find out exactly which ones are going under a termination by a bulk buyer. It's way more simplistic than people think. It's black and white right there on the website. And so you can find these complexes and then reach out to them from there, and they're completely unaware. I talked to a couple from Michigan recently who had no idea they were going under a termination, and only because of the letter that Floridians Act sent to them were they able to get on board and let their neighbors know. That's how secretive.
So
the bulk buyers and the associations are doing it down here.
Wow. And I was going to ask you, how does one, there's no way in God's green earth that I would ever buy a condo or anything in an HOA again. But, you know, there are a lot of people who think that this is great. It's carefree living. Someone's going to take care of everything. I don't have to worry about it, which is what they want. How do they determine? I mean, I guess the message really is just don't do it because you don't know what's going to happen.
I agree. I personally purchased a condo for all those benefits, you know, the joy of not having to worry about lawn care and to have a nice manicured pool right there to visit anytime. I mean, there's so many attractions to living in a condominium complex, but knowing now, I mean, if I knew 7 years ago what I will know now, I advise everybody that I know to please don't purchase a condo, not until they get these issues worked out, because in the end, and it's not every situation, but there are a majority of situations where people are really being left violated, and that shouldn't be happening. I feel that they need to correct this before they let purchases go forward where people could walk away in debt and in harm. You know, and when you have a law on the books like this, you know, to be overlooked for 7 years is just unacceptable. I mean, to have, you know, and here's another way to look at it, too. You know, the DBPR down here in Florida, they're a government agency. That's a taxpayer agency. Like, we fund this agency.
Yeah.
And they're not working for us at all.
No.
They're working on behalf of the developers and the bulk buyers, and we need that exposed. We need them to be held accountable because their inactivity to do their job is costing Americans their homes by the tens of thousands. And that's where the outrage comes in down here, is nobody's stepping in and regulating to make sure the regulatory agency is doing their job. And the ironic part is when you go to the DBPR, which we've been to dozens and dozens of times, and say to them, "Who? You're not fulfilling this part of Florida statute. Who can I go to that overlooks you?" They say the governor. And then when you go to the governor sends you to the regulatory agency. And that's a vicious cycle that not just my group is getting, but all the other
Everybody.
Complexes that we've been in touch with.
Stephanie, we are out of time, but I want to thank you. And I think Florida is very lucky to have you fighting for them. Usually you find it's the older people who get involved in these battles, but I think you're doing an absolutely amazing job.
Thank you so much. Hopefully we'll get some results down here and get some of the legislator to step up and do what's right.
I think it's time to start holding them responsible for what's going on. I mean, they're not doing a good job. They're just totally not doing a good job. Please keep in touch with me. Let me know how you're doing. And plan on coming back on to give us an update on what's happening. This is a very important issue.
No, I agree, and thank you so much for taking the time and speaking with me today. Just getting the word out is going to be helping so many families down here, and, you know, God knows we really need some help, so I appreciate it.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.